Hey everyone, this is Brian from Many Sided Media. Recently, ICE has once again murdered an American citizen in Minnesota, but the citizens of Minneapolis are showing up for their community to resist this violence. We make shows about games and imagination and all the silliest things in life, but we also want to support the people of Minnesota. So here is how we are going to start. This month, we are going to be matching donations to the Women's Foundation of Minnesota and their Immigrant Rapid Response Fund. These donations will help organizations that support and protect immigrants by providing human services and legal services to immigrant communities under attack. We are matching all donations up to $500, so if you send us a receipt or proof of donation on social media or by email to manysidedmedia@gmail.com, we will match your donation in kind. Not only that, if you donate any amount over $20 anytime this month and let us know about it, we will also send you a code for a free month to our Patreon. This month, we're going to be putting out talkbacks for Perils and Princesses, some original music from that season, plus a special two-part Die series with guest GM Kieran Gillen and guest player Nathan Yaffe. So not only will you be donating to a great cause, not only will your generosity be doubled by the folks here at Many Sided Media, but you will also get a bunch of great TTRPG content as well. So once again, go to WFMN.org and donate to the Immigrant Rapid Response Fund. Let us know that you did, and we will match your donation and send you a free month of our Patreon. While times right now may feel dark, remember that individually, things may seem hopeless, but united as a community, we can make great change. So just do one thing every day. That's really all I'm trying to do. Just one thing. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's volunteering in your community, meeting your neighbors, going to a protest, signing a petition, or finding some other way to get involved in your community. Every step that we make towards a better tomorrow is frustratingly imperceptible. But if we just keep making them, then one day we may actually find ourselves in that better future that we all hoped for. And with that, enjoy the show. This is a preview of our Patreon-exclusive game of Die, Total Party Kill, featuring special guests Kieran Gillen and Nathan Yaffe. To hear the full episode, head on over to patreon.com/manysidedmedia and become a member of the Dice Pool. There, you will get access to dozens of hours of bonus actual plays, cast talkbacks, roundtable discussions, original music, and ad-free episodes of all of our shows. Your support on Patreon really is the single best way you can help us continue to make this show and many more like it in 2026 and beyond. Hello and welcome to the Dice Pool, everybody.
Slash.
Eagle-eared listeners will hear a few additional voices on this particular splashdown. Please welcome to the show, Kieran Gillen, designer of Die.
Howdy.
Joining us today as our guest GM, and also welcome returning to the show the first time on the Dice Pool, Nathan Yaffe.
Howdy.
Howdy. Yay, howdy.
We've got a little mini Die reunion going on here because we are going to dive in once again to one of our favorite games of all time, Die.
Woohoo!
We're incredibly excited to have Kieran be GMing for us. Also joining me on the call, I should introduce everybody because not everybody can hear. We have Abby Hepworth.
Hi, howdy.
And we have Elliot Davis.
Howdy.
Let's dive right in. Kieran, I'm going to turn this over to you to introduce us to the game and to get us started with this one shot.
The immediate urge to just burn this to the ground and make it a Western Die game is very high. I just found out that this a Western Die scenario actually would kind of work in various ways, but I don't want to wing it.
Next time.
Yeah, Die is a portal fantasy game of basically Goth Jumanji. A group of people get together playing a role-playing game and get dragged into a fantasy world which throws their hopes and fears and losses back at them in the form of dragons and whatever else. It's like Dungeons and Dragons, but the dragon is your distant father and the dungeon is every dark thing inside your soul.
You know, chill. Yeah. Just
classic.
Yeah.
And basically, the characters go into the fantasy world and then decide whether or not to go home. And there's elements which are complicated. This is actually the second time I've ran DAI this year, actually. It's weird. It's one of those weird things that it's out there, but I have not run it recently.
Oh,
so I'm
wow.
excited to run it again.
Ooh,
nice. Hopefully I remember the rules. If not, you know, it's great.
They're written down, so. Yeah.
who reads the rules, though? You know, really, it's like designers are very egotistical approaches. So we're running a scenario called Total Party Kill, which is what Grant basically challenged me. Hey, is it possible to actually just write a proper one-off scenario with a dungeon for DAI? And the answer is yes, or at least I tried to. DAI Rituals, which is the main game, is breathes a bit more over sessions. Quite often, there's a lot more hugging. Total Party Kill, as the name may suggest, can be a little meaner. Though we'll discover that as we go along. DAI
yeah.
is something that walks entirely upon the personas, which are the people, the real-world people. I'm just going to read the text. You all used to play fantasy RPGs together as teenagers until an awful session where the GM, yours truly, threw you into a killer dungeon and slaughtered the party. Now, years down the line, you're all back in town and the GM suggests the game. With mutual recrimination, both in and out the game, you're surprised they asked. You're perhaps even more surprised you all said yes. Right, that's the setup. So I'm, you know, I am this master who's got you all back together and fell out. We don't. Maybe some of us like each other, maybe we don't. I'm going to segue quickly into the magic circle, which is what we do in DAI to sort of set expectations. It's a safety tool. If I can just gesture everyone over to the actual magic circle tab. This is, we define the tone of the game. Default is a dark fantasy, there's horror, and there's also a more standard fantasy. I would say dark fantasy unless anyone has any really strong desires to go harder or softer.
I feel like I trust your judgment here.
Dark fantasy sounds great.
Yeah.
Like, as a general GM thing, I will check anyone's ever uncomfortable. I mean, we play with the X card anyway, but like, I'll check in with people quite regularly. And also, like, Total Party Kill is more violent. It's also slightly sillier, I think. There's something like over the top about it, but you know, I will definitely be checking in.
Awesome.
Inter-party conflict. The end of the game always involves a conflict between the group. Not necessarily violence, but the possibility of it.
Okay.
How do people feel about party fisticuffs before that? It's the best thing. Is it like on standard, where it's only the end game has explicit party versus party stuff? How do people feel about opening up or not?
I'm open.
Yeah. Yeah.
If the spirit moves us, no, Abby, you don't want that.
Do you know what it is? Is that I am squirrely about it, but I like what you just said of like if the spirit moves us, and I feel like I can put that into the character of like if yeah that's that I can they I don't mind watching it happen, and if I feel so moved I'll hop on it.
The actual way it phrases, I mean, like, God bless how it's written. I didn't write this bit. Direct conflict between the player characters is possible throughout the game if the narrative demands it.
Yes.
I'm really imagining like Abby just waiting outside of a fight, just waiting until everyone else is tired and then jumping in.
like all right.
Oh, now that you're softened up, bang bang bang.
Yeah.
Abby's playing the dictator, therefore the most obvious reason there might be party violence. You know? So, which leads to, we will be using dictator, the default is yes. I presume we're okay with that one, because we've all played DAI before, yep. In which case,
yeah.
Okay. Can the dictator use the voice to control other player characters? Because the way the dictator works, to remind people, there's two things the dictator's voice can do. One is to hurt people, mm-hmm. which is basically allows the dictator to work in the end game, and one is to control people, as in directly alter their emotional state. The standard way of doing it is, no, they can't. Only on NPC characters. Either yes or no, only on NPCs. Or maybe, but the player, play the dictator, will get consent each time they use another player character. My general suggestion for like more mature players is the get consent each time, as in, is this cool? But yeah, like, yeah. How do people feel about that?
Yeah.
I'm down to get controlled.
Good. Yeah, you can control me.
I trust my wife.
Okay.
I trust your wife too.
I trust your wife too.
And if she's mean, she's sleeping on the couch tonight.
We have a very comfy couch.
One of the things I like about the game is all the classes about what their powers that cost something. That's the entire point. Except the dictator is there's no downside. It's just the temptation. You have power. There's no real downside to what you do. Mm. It's downsides for everybody else. Now what
wow.
you do? You just sit. You know what I mean? Like, everyone else has to do something, but yours is just, this is an ethical hole you're standing over. Yeah. You're going to jump in?
I feel like the answer is probably, yeah, let's go for it. Yeah.
Eventually, let's go, it's more like when they jump in is the better question.
Yeah, yeah.
What pushes? Anyway, and finally, what sort of ending we want? Hard-won happy ending, an emotionally complicated but satisfying conclusion, a cathartic tragedy. What's the general vibe we're shooting for here? I'm open here. The standard one is happy. The standard one is like emotionally complicated but satisfying.
I love a tragedy.
I'm okay with tragedy.
I'm in for emotionally complicated and or tragedy. I don't want a hard one happy ending. I want no. some hurt in this game.
You never know.
Yeah,
that's true. If the spirit moves us, you know.
That is the theme of the day.
Yeah, for me, the standard ending of most nice stories is everyone goes to a gay bar and someone comes out. That's kind of... You know what I mean? It's a hard way to get there.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it emotionally... but the potential of just really dark is still on the table.
I think that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The way Die opens, and I should stop clapping because that's bad in a podcast.
Thank you.
But realizing it midway through is great audio for a podcast.
Yeah. So, honestly, my fidget tools are here and I'm not touching them. That's my entire goal. Don't touch the fidget tools. Okay. In Die is Persona Gem. So basically, quite often in Die, you do a much more broader, slower cook. TPK goes straight to the heart of it and asks some big questions. So everybody, you are all have a fraught relationship with my GM character. I'm the biggest nerd at school, basically. Or it's the biggest nerd in this classic RPG group. But each one of you have a strong relationship with me. There is the friend, the GM's best friend, the one the GM loved, the bully, the one who bullied the GM, the bullied, the one the GM bullied, and the pity, the one the GM looked down on. Has anybody wants to jump on one of those roles?
I was interested in the pitied.
That's great, Brian.
Which I'm also just thinking in terms of like being pitied. Can I go little brother?
Little brother's fantastic.
I wanna jump right in on that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, if anyone gets like a lot of like soft, the questions are kind of the start, so you can always build upon them. My little brother's fantastic. Nathan, you got any role that jumps out at you?
Yeah, I was thinking about being the best friend.
Thank you. Abby, what about you?
I'm gonna play the bully.
You mean me.
I'm gonna be mean.
How dare you bully me? And Elliot?
The bullied.
Oh, wow. And I'm mean too, so like, there's a circle of...
The chain of screaming, yes.
If you somehow bully Abby, we could create a perfectly dynamic...
Yes!
A closed system.
New minigame.
Yeah, little rock, paper, scissors.
Sustainable bullying.
There's no waste in this system.
The rock, paper, scissors of bullying, yes.
I ran the game, as I said. I was the biggest fantasy nerd in the group, perhaps the biggest in the universe as far as you knew. We're broadly speaking a group of nerdy kids playing this, playing this at school, whatever that means. Okay, and I'm going to ask some of these questions directly at people, but like other people got strong feelings chip in. Elliot, okay, how many long is it since we played together? So is it like 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, something else?
Let's call it 10. That feels nice.
10's good. So we're heading towards 30, basically.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's a horrific period.
Everyone's their worst selves at that time.
Oh yeah,
you haven't well, hold on.
He says a to a group of people in their late 20s and early 30s.
They are terrible people. All of them.
As long as if you're above 30, you're great, but below 30.
Wait.
Okay. Nathan.
Yes.
What was the name of the killer dungeon I threw you all in and murdered you? Is it the Dominions of Farland Thrice-Blooded?
Oh, rad.
The Blade Glades of the Everchild? The Abyss? Or something else?
Ooh. Those are all really good.
Something else is a pretty spooky name.
Something else is pretty spooky.
How dare you? Honestly, like getting in touch with my like 13-year-old edgelord to make up the names was really an important part of the
game. Yeah. What about just the else?
The else.
Ooh.
The else.
The else.
The other.
Perfect. Right, Brian.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's Nathan. You're the friend, aren't you?
Yeah.
Excellent. You were my GM's friend. You were my confidant. What bonded us together? We both loved the same geek stuff. You kind of hero worshipped me and hung off every word of mine. We were the first two queer kids out of school. Or something else?
I like that first one. We just were both into geek stuff.
What especially did you love is the follow-up question there.
I mean, I could just pull from real life. I was really into the... I think you were probably more familiar with this fantasy stuff, and you helped get me into it. And I just... I like... coming up with characters and playing the game, and you like running the game. So it made it. It's a nice.
So is it what specifically was our game though? Like, was it just D&D broadly, or was it like anything else a bit more? Like, we're the right age to be watching Game of Thrones, by the way. If we're going to go 10 years ago.
Oh, sure. Yeah, maybe it was like your homebrew version of D&D, which was like darker than D&D.
Yeah, obviously, we watched Game of Thrones.
There's no Revivify.
Yeah, that's cheating.
Yeah.
Cheating. And then there's actually an entire scenario called No Res. It's about a GM who just hates the idea of characters getting resurrected.
That's sure. Great.
That's awesome.
It's because they've lost the loved one. Anyway.
Damn.
I always forget that this game hits on the second level as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not subtle. Like, no. Fantastic. The bully. How did you bully the GM? Were you physically powerful? Were you wickedly socially manipulative? Were you smarter than me and made me feel stupid? Or something else?
I think that I bullied you in the sense of I was like a very angry kid and I made it everybody else's problem. And because you were like organizing things and running things, I was like constantly telling you were doing it wrong. And kind of in the wickedly manipulative of like I would get mad about it, forcing you to like adjust a thing because I was too much.
Yeah. So basically you hurt me by just this hypercritical, as in you're hypercriticizing me and making you anger my problem.
Yeah, like every choice you could make, there'd be something wrong with it, in my opinion, somehow.
An ideal player in any game.
Yeah, why did you guys play games with me?
We'll play to find out. Okay.
You would have been even meaner if we didn't.
That's true.
The bullied. You are someone I treated bad. Sorry, the GM treated badly repeatedly. Why? You're my younger sibling. You weren't as bright as me, and I mocked you for every mistake. Wow. It's a circle of.
It's a circle.
You were the hang on friend of somebody cooler in the group. Or something else.
Oh. I like a hang along friend. That's a really tragic vibe.
Yeah,
you were even in fantasy, just kind of hung out and like, yeah, oh man, I love that.
I think I thought Nathan's character was very cool, and I hung, nice. I was a hanger on to Nathan's character.
Yeah,
and I was always like, yeah, guys, what are we all doing?
Yeah,
especially because we were best friends, me and Nathan. Yeah,
I was like, oh yeah, we're a trio. Yeah.
Salt, pepper, and paprika.
The three musketeers. And it's like, no, we're not. We're really not. And the pitied.
Yes.
Many people treated you poorly. The GM seemed to take sympathy for you. Why? Were you poorer than everyone else? Were you targeted by bullies at school for something? Were you the younger sibling of another player? We're ahead of it. Or something else.
I definitely want to go younger sibling.
Yeah, so you've already said my younger sibling, yeah.
I think so. Does it make more sense to be younger sibling of another player?
I think another player's great in that way, especially if they're someone mean, like Abby. Sorry, Abby's character.
No, you nailed it. You nailed it the first time.
Yeah. The second anyone gets that character's name, feel free to write them on your screen as well.
I know, I'm trying to think.
That suddenly makes that whole bit easier, because I accidentally not insulting Abby all the time, which is good.
You know what? I'll go ahead and do little sibling of Abby.
That's nice.
Of Abby's character.
Is Abby okay that Abby was also mean to Brian?
I think weirdly, part of the reason Brian is in the group is because I insisted it had to happen, and I'm overprotective of Brian. Oh. But you guys also actually, now the tides have turned and you like Brian more than you like me.
Well, yeah. Mm. Brian's great.
Yeah, where you're like, wait, but you're so mean. How did he turn out so nice?
He's pitied because he's your sibling.
Yeah. In this group dynamic, great to him. At home, I bully everyone.
It's a bit like, honestly, I'm usually going like, if Abby's so like aggressive to everyone else, Brian's character gets it in the neck. Like, there's a bit like that he gets the splash damage of Abby's rage as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Abby, because your character's being mean to everybody, they're like, oh, we're not brave enough to stand up to you, so let's pick on the little sibling.
Yes.
I love that. Well, I don't love that. But...
Also, I think I'm going to go with the name Felix.
Felix is good. I've gone with Duncan.
I think I'm going to go with Garrett.
How about Martin?
Martin.
My best mate, Martin. The maltster.
The maltster.
The maltster.
Dunk Mart, they call us.
And your second best mate, Garrett.
Yes, Garrett.
Of course, Garrett.
This question will go to everyone individually, so I'm going to read it once and then move it around. I'll start with Felix this time for Bro.
Yeah.
At school, what was your hope for the future? Be famous for what? Get out of this town to do what? To get started on a career, which? To finally come out. And why haven't you? To settle down with someone you love. Do you have a who? Or something else? So that's going to go to everybody.
I think just to make it like extra pitiable, I think he was wanted to get famous, but for like Twitch streaming.
Nice. Like, you were early adopters then as well. You know, you could have, you know.
Yeah. I feel like there are lots of art forms that if you don't make it, it's still okay. I feel like Twitch streaming, if you really try for it and don't make it, it's somehow worse. I can't. I don't know why.
It's also not great if you do. If you do succeed. Hard to explain to your older relatives.
Martin, what about you? Oh, well, Nathan, tell me about Martin. What did Martin want to get out of school?
I think maybe Martin's like a romantic. Wanted to find love.
Were you in love with anybody?
Yeah.
In the group or just an MP or somebody, just another person?
Well, I was gonna, cause I'm thinking ahead to what our falling out might have been.
Yeah. Well, okay, we can save on that. We'll sit on that briefly then.
Yeah.
For a while. What about Abby? Tell me about Fen.
Yes, Fen. I've picked the name Fen. Her full name is Felicity, but if you call her that, watch out. Fen wanted to get out of town. She wanted to get out of Dodge. And stole her over somewhere else where she had less history.
That's great. And Garrett? Elliot, tell me about Garrett.
Garrett wanted to come out. This was not a very accepting town, I would say, and wanted to go somewhere where he could come out.
That's a great question. Where do you reckon we are? Anyone got, Garrett, you got a choice?
I always love a rural... Rural New England is personal to me, so we can do rural New England.
It's a rural tour.
I have this to bear, so I know vaguely what it looks like.
Yeah, it's like old England, but newer.
Just a little newer.
I always Boston and shouting is my main memories in New England.
Yeah.
That's
the whole thing.
It, yeah.
and Dunkin' Duncan. Donuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one has an indoor voice. That's the kind of energy.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah. That feels accurate for Boston.
I think I wanted to do a very popular actual play. I think it's a hot new thing that could make it.
Yeah.
that's my kind of energy.
Oh, it's too real. Being like famous action player was also my first thought, and I was like, is that too close to home for me?
Twitch stream, it's different.
Oh, actually different. Kieran, that would be fun if both of us had like a similar dream but had very different ways of going about it. Like,
yeah.
Because you did you did this Total Party Kill dungeon, it's like you wanted to do hardcore, no rerolls, and I'm like, nah, story gaming.
No, story. There's no such thing as story gaming. They're really.
No. Like, trust me.
It's not really a game.
We've got this thing called the X card.
Oh, no.
In this world, it's called Wiggle instead of Twitch.
There you go.
Oh.
I love that.
Dai jumps over the copyright of so much stuff, it's almost embarrassing. No one will notice. Anyway, around the time of our fatal game, maybe before or maybe after, each of us did something that torched the relationship with my character, Duncan. What was it? Here's a list that everyone's going to pick from. You turned up to a party drunk and caused the huge scene. You stole something precious. What? You made out with my partner, or at least someone I was extremely into. You snapped and told me exactly what you thought of me. What was it? You spread rumors about me behind my back. What were they? I needed you to do something for me, and you just didn't. What was it? Or something else?
I was thinking I made out with I'm thinking we both like the same person, and I was just, you were a little bit more of a nerd than me. I was a little bit more outgoing, and that was all it took.
Yeah. And that's presumably the person you want to settle that. You actually, is somebody you cared about? Like, I mean, is it more interesting for the person you cared about or just a rando?
I think we both had feelings
I think I much prefer that as well.
Yeah.
We got a name for her?
Ooh. What about Annie?
Annie's good. Beautiful Annie.
Yeah.
My heart called out for her, and you took her away with your less knowledge of polyhedrals. Fantastic. Anyone want to jump on next?
Could I have stolen the dungeon prep for this dungeon?
What? Actually, I'm going to just show the fluidity of the game. I also wanted to make it as the RPG designer. Let's include that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
All right, then I'll just do actual play. I'll steal that. Let's get real meta.
Yeah.
This is the game for it.
Brilliant. So you stole my prep for this game, as in the whole kind of campaign you were running?
Well, I was thinking like stole the prep for like the original dungeon, like the one that we got killed in.
Okay, cool.
Oh.
That's great. And you got it published, presumably? It's got to be really awesome. It's got to be stolen in a meaningful way.
Or you know what? How about I wanted to be famous on Wiggle, on the Twitch equivalent, and I ended up getting famous because I ran your module.
Right. We are heading there soon. As in, like, this is your calling card. I love it. That's really mean. And I have such sympathy for you.
You did.
Yeah.
Ben spread rumors about you behind your back. She was really mad that you were doing better in school, and so she accused you of plagiarism.
Wow.
And the accusations stuck, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, and I didn't get to college.
I mean, that's, if you want to go that hard.
I like that.
Absolutely.
You could have maybe just gone to a different college and not your top choice. You do you. But like, I think at a bare minimum, it tarnished your rep and maybe you went to a different school. I don't know.
I think that's good. Again, I do want to merge you all. That's important.
That is true. So it's, I'll let you choose what the exact consequences were, but it was, I accused you of plagiarism. It stuck, and people in power knew.
What'd you reckon? What class?
I feel like it fits of it was like an English or creative writing or something, that you were so good at running these games and coming up with incredible stories, and I was jealous.
This is too complicated. I handed in that adventure as my coursework. And you went, it's online.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is bullshit.
That's Felix's.
You can't double dip.
Yes, I think I think that's great. Creative writing is fantastic. And finally, Garrett.
I think I snapped at you and told exactly what I thought of you, which I think it was like, I was one of those hangers-ons who, like, I really wanted you to be my friend to the point that, like, I actually got a pretty good sense of who you are. Like, I listened and paid attention in such a way that when I finally snapped on you, I went at, like, your worst insecurities all in one go.
Yeah, I love it.
And I think if I can, it was the night we played the Fatal Game. I think that I just, like, fucking got up from the table and in front of everyone unloaded at you.
I think that's great, actually. What did you say, though?
I'm trying to think.
I do love the fact that I've just killed you all and then you say this. That's beautiful and brutal, and I love it.
I think I maybe went after like your family or something. Like you didn't talk about your family. If this isn't like a line or anything, like,
no, I'm fine.
I think maybe you had some like bad family drama, and I just like went in on the fact that like on all the details of like your parents were maybe going through a divorce or something, and I was I essentially insinuated it was your fault.
Oh my god!
Yeah, like, they go through divorce. It's, you know, this, your weirdo kid, and like, you know, also this is why you're such a control freak. You know, you're married. Yeah. You know, your family's falling apart, and you can't. Your family's falling apart, and you're just trying to control something.
And now you don't
have
this friend group either. Like,
right. Everyone's going to leave you. Like the same way your dad left your mum.
Yeah.
So for the rest of us, we did the thing that pissed you off before you killed us off, but then for Garrett, he did this after.
Yeah, because Felix has to be after.
Oh, okay.
I think so, yeah. Right.
Garrett is during.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know, Marty, you can put yourself before or after. Both are good. I think before is probably better in the case of you.
Yeah.
As in,
yeah, maybe that's what,
me being vengeful in a stupid.
And you didn't know he knew. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I thought I was slick. But
yeah,
I was
I must have dropped the character into some kind of thinly veiled version of Annie in the game or something.
Oh my god, yes. I feel like Fenn's was also before, and that it was very much a case of like, kind of, she's mean all the time. I don't think she really processed that she crossed a line.
Yeah. Did I know that Fenn did it? I mean, presumably I didn't know. I discovered at some point, but did I know then?
I think it's the thing where you're like, it couldn't be anyone else. And then at another point, it was like definitive proof. But at that point, it was like, I just can't see how it could have been anyone other than Finn.
I'm really imagining, like, Duncan, as you are, like, sitting in the principal's office, like, the door opens and Finn walks out.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
like, oh, I love that no. shot.
Gives you a really bitchy smirk.
Yeah.
Everybody who's listened to this, who's heard me basically lecture people on the DAI Discord about how you're meant to run this, they'll go, Kieran, you said get through the questions in half an hour.
Well, we're pretty close.
It's a soft half hour.
Yeah.
Anyway, time passes. A decade passes.
See, we just passed a decade in 10 seconds. Whoa. That was great. We're catching up right there.
The Wanderer's Bookshop is a solo journaling bookshop simulator that is currently crowdfunding on BackerKit. In The Wanderer's Bookshop, you are guided by tarot cards to collect stories, read books, and find your own white whale. You play as the impassioned curator of a magical bookshop, a wanderer with a burning literary question that the bookshop will help you solve. Along the way, you stoke the magic through caretaking, story collecting, and mixed media journaling. Discover the bookshop's history and the curators before you. Help other wanderers find books for their quests, piece together fragments to create something new, and make or find your own sources to solve the mystery that is your burning question. All the while, creating a keepsake journal, a magical item that will live on your very own bookshelf. Support this project on BackerKit by searching The Wanderer's Bookshop or go to tinyurl.com/wanderingbooks. Hey everyone, it's Brian, and we've been doing something really cool on our Patreon, and I want to tell you about it. Since we launched the Patreon, we've been putting out bonus actual play episodes every month, but recently, we've been doing something even cooler. We've been inviting some of our favorite game designers on the show to GM their own games. And it has been really, really cool. Recently, we had Felix Isaacs join us for a 3-episode game of The Wild Sea, where I got to play a Mothrin Raveler conspiracy theorist who may very well be my favorite character ever. Then we had Caleb Zane Hewitt run a 3-part game of Triangle Agency, and we were joined by a friend of the show, Taylor Moore, who you may know from his work producing, editing, and composing for Worlds Beyond Number. And just a few days ago, we released part one of our 2-part game of Die, GM'd by Kieran Gillen and featuring special guest and friend of the pod, Nathan Yaffe from Drawfee. Kieran is running us through a scenario called Total Party Kill, so you know it's going to get messy, messy, messy. This has truly been one of my favorite things that we've done on our Patreon so far, but we also have roundtable discussions from Talk of the Table, including a recent episode featuring Brennan Lee Mulligan, Dr. Emily Friedman, and Quinns from Quinns Quest, talking about actual play and learning TTRPGs. We also have ad-free episodes, original music, cast talkbacks, and even some borderline unplayable original games. So if you want all of that amazing bonus content, and if you want to support a show you clearly like because you've listened to this whole ad, then go to patreon.com/manysidedmedia and become a member of the Dice Pool. Your support means the world to us and helps us keep making this show and a whole bunch more we have planned for 2026. So jump on over to the Dice Pool, patreon.com/manysidedmedia. We'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, the thing that torched our relationship with, you know, the thing that torched your relationship with me, similar behavior has been recurring in your life. How do you think we see this character trait go across your life? And I'm going to give you the second question at the same time, so you to sort of think about it at the same time. Your hope for the future hasn't worked out. You didn't get what you want, or at least it didn't make you happy. why. Now, I want to just think about those two, because I think those two quite regularly tie together a bit. I'll start with me to give you a chance to think. Well, my basic behavior was control freakery, petty nonsense, making enemies very easily, it seems. And I definitely never, I went to a small local college. I don't think I ever dared go online with my natural play. I think it's kind of that there's a sense that he always wanted to and never didn't in the end. Certainly never got anything published. And I'm just sort of working a very small local job and haven't even really gamed for like a decade.
Wow.
Very single.
Very single.
Finn is also very single. I think it was just like a rinse and repeat of like Finn went to college, was like across the country, was so excited to reinvent herself. And she hadn't actually worked through any of the reasons why she was being a bully. So by the end of 4 years at school, like she'd isolated herself again moved someplace else and was like, all right, cool, we can start over again. And has been doing well career-wise, but like she's the person at work that no one wants to work with. And like she knows people talk shit about her behind her back. And while it's harder in some ways to be a bully at work, especially if you're not like the top dog. But she has once again like done the thing where just kind of being mean means that she's isolated herself. So she got out of town. She's really not doing any better.
I do love that you got out of town, but it didn't. Unfortunately, you're still in the town where you are.
I was gonna say you can take the girl out of the town, and you just can't take the town out of the girl. If that applies here,
you can be difficult to work with even if you're not the boss.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not the boss.
Yeah.
There's one thing we haven't actually mentioned. Like, we don't really know why Fenn's angry.
Mm.
Why is Fenn's angry? Any idea why Fenn is angry?
Let me think. Come back. Let me think about
it. Yeah, we'll come back. Especially because, you know, your sibling's also in the group. So it's like there's interesting stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Actually, should we go over to, Brian? Yeah. Any ideas about Felix?
I think his stuff didn't work out because he got very famous very quick because of running your module. Like that actual play did very well. And then everything after that has been like, oh, not as good as the first one. Mm. Oh, not as good as the first. And like listenership just slowly drops off. People keep complaining that like, just go back to that world. Like do that again.
Yeah, it's almost like a different person wrote that one.
it's the so constant strange. Refrain.
So you genuinely plagiarized.
Genuinely, like, fully plagiarized, like, just stole the... Because I think, Duncan, you had the module, like, essentially, for, like, written and ready to publish, kind of.
Yeah, I think I'm a bit extra nerd. You know what I mean? I think there's an level of, like, fastidiousness to Duncan in that way. His life involves binders.
Loves.
But also, like so much so that Felix, regardless of how, like, good he was, or good he is, he was able to, like, just take your work and run it like straight out of the binder, and it became like a massive success.
Yeah.
So like a true testament to how good Duncan was, and also like the degree of badness that it is that Felix stole it. It wasn't like he put any of his own stink on it. It was absolutely Duncan's.
Wow. I quite like that. That's nice.
Brutal.
Martin, what about you? Oh, sorry, Nathan, what about Martin?
Yeah. I think, and y'all can help me decide, do you think it's better? I think Martin ended up marrying Annie. Is it better if they're in an unhappy marriage or divorced?
Ooh. Unhappy marriage is always
sadder.
Always worse.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's their marriage is on the rocks.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I think we could save the why for later.
Okay.
That's always quite interesting. It's like I imagine, because the implication of the question is you kissing someone you shouldn't have. So there's an implication of cheating somewhere, but I don't know. I think it's quite interesting to discover that later.
Sure.
What else you want to say?
Oh no, I'm open to, you know, I think the theme I'm working with is that I, you know, similar to my friendship with Duncan, I saw it as something I could get something out of, but then acted without really thinking about how that would affect Duncan. And so I imagine it ended up sort of similar, a similar relationship with Annie.
It's really like it's almost straight. It's like, you know, Duncan should get over himself. That's not the stress, the subtext of him. But what about Elliot? What about Garrett?
Yeah, I think going with I think the kind of falling out that we, like Garrett and Duncan, had was a big moment for Garrett of realizing that, like, he actually had a huge crush on Duncan, and this was him not being able to work that out. And then for the following 10 years, like, he finally did come out and is, like, dating men, but then keeps finding himself in these situations where he plays it cool as, like, a hanger-on in a relationship, and then lets all the things he hates about, like, a partner bubble up, and then has a big blowout, like, every time. And so it's just been that same pattern, because he never learned how to, like, express his feelings properly, and, like, Duncan was, like, the first instance of that.
That's genuinely heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's everybody. Like, unless Fen wants to say anything about why they're so angry.
I think, and Brian, you can, since you're my brother, can say, I think Fen is really angry because she's resentful that, like, in that extremely unfair way, she's resentful that her parents weren't, like, more successful of, like, in town of, you know, they always had a little bit less. They always had, you know, they didn't go on cool, exciting trips. They did, and she just, in a very childish, unfair way, was really angry at them. And was like, I'm going to get out of here and do better. Was so then I think that also was, like, why she got really angry when other people had things and, like, did better than she did. And she thought it was unfair. But in that childish way where you're like, that's not how that works.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Briefly, everyone take a breath and just think about your life. Some of you have touched it a bit. It's like, what do you do now for your job? Are you married, dating, or single, divorced, or kids? Just broadly that kind of shape. Like, a lot of you have actually kind of already given some details of that. Anyone want to give any more? Like, for example, Garrett, are you dating anyone? Is Garrett dating anyone at the moment?
Oh, no. Garrett, I think, is very lonely. And I think Garrett works adjacent to, like, games, maybe. Is, like, maybe just, like, a payrolled, like, editor for, like, a big publisher.
That's good. Anyone else got any details to add to their kind of, Abby, any ideas about Fen's career?
I want to say she got into, like, finance because she got it in her head that that was, like, the epitome of success, but she's just sort of like a middle manager in something. A bank? I don't know.
Some of hang-ups about money getting to finance does make sense, I think.
Mm. I think, it was like, I'm going to run Wall Street, and it's like, she doesn't even live in the state of New York, let alone New York City.
Yeah. Nathan, Brian, anything else you'd like to sort of add to your mix?
I was thinking kind of like a bit of a reason why Felix is interested in playing again is that he's finally made the promise to people that he will run, like, the Else season 2, but he's freaking out about it because he also knows that, like, if it doesn't go well, his contract is, like, probably destroyed.
Mm. That's great. Any partners, kids?
Yeah, I think he's married with, how old are we? 30? Married?
Yeah.
Married with 4 kids.
Damn, oh, no. Felix got busy.
I think it's, the additional stress is that work isn't going well in that everyone isn't liking anything that he's making. And now it's kind of a tipping point where he finally has to do the thing he hasn't wanted to do, which is run a season 2 of this thing that he can't run.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work, then he has, like, some real financial troubles.
Cool. And Martin and Phillip, we know about Annie. Do you have kids? Or, like, also, what do you do? I'm intrigued.
No kids, and I think that's part of the tension.
Ooh.
Is Annie wants kids, and Martin does not. Marketing executive, like, one of those guys who, but just, like, big collection of just, like, nerd shit in his home, and no one to share it with, because no one else that I work with, you know, just a perfectly personable guy at the office, but just I say what I need to say to make small talk at the water cooler, but no one has my same interests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, catch the game last night. It's like I look up what happened in the game on my phone.
You're like, what sport? What do you mean?
So tragic.
What season? Yeah. What sport is this?
D&D 4th or 5th edition. I was like, I'm going to tweet most. Like I said, I'm actually single. That's true, but I'm actually divorced with 2 kids.
Okay.
Yeah. Last question before we go to the persona joke. With the bad blood in the room, why did we decide to come anyway? It's around Christmas. I've suggested we play a game because everyone's back in town for old time's sake. Because we're all about, you know, it's a decade after leaving school. There's this, you know, school reunion shit energy going on. So why do people say yes with all the stuff that's between us? Felix has already given a kind of answer, but the other suggestions are a bit weird sense of guilt. You have unresolved emotion for someone else in the group. Morbid curiosity about the group. Or something else. And there's a follow-on question to each of them, and actually I'll say that. Weird sense of guilt. How often is weird sense of guilt for you? Unresolved emotions, who? And morbid curiosity, what do you want to know?
I think Garrett is in therapy and has mythologized this idea that until he apologizes to Duncan and resets this pattern, he cannot properly move on and fall in love with like a person as an adult.
Do you think it's a until he apologizes or until Duncan forgives him? Because one of those is less healthy than the other.
I think it's until he apologizes, like he thinks it's going to be easy. But I think probably as soon as he sits down, he realizes it actually isn't until he forgives him.
Brilliant. Abby, Nathan?
Ben partly is doing this because Felix seems excited and interested. And it's like a little sibling moment of like, all right, well, if you're going, then I kind of have to go. But I do think there is a piece of her now that she's repeated this pattern so many times, she's realizing it's a pattern. And I think it is that sort of sense of guilt of also the like nostalgia where you're like, well, we were all friends though. Like, it doesn't matter that we fell apart. It's just, that's what happens when you grow up. And so we're still friends. And so wants to come back and sort of, it's similar to Garrett, fix it.
Yeah.
Fix the first iteration. Yeah.
I love it. Primal wounds healing.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan, what about you?
Playing this game was like the last time Martin remembers having fun.
Oh. Even the total party.
You made that Annie.
Yeah, I know.
What?
I know. It's
I don't feel sorry for Annie now.
grass is always green. Yeah, I mean she picked wrong maybe.
No shit, no, I'm useless.
Yeah, no, he's checking all the boxes, you know, the life looks good on the outside, but he's just bored.
Yeah.
That's
just
great.
Bored and wants to game and escape.
Right. Felix, anything else you want to add to yours?
I think he's coming to this kind of with an expressed desire of like, I need to farm as much additional material as I can.
You're the worst of these people.
I was gonna say, Felix has not learned a single lesson.
Well, I think it's Felix did this thing, he got really famous, and then he was like, great, I'm here now. I can be enough, I can do my own stuff. And every bit of the past 10 years has been his entire audience saying, no, you cannot. No, you are not enough. And so now it's gotten to a point where I don't think he's excited about this. Like, this isn't him like, ooh, he. It's him being pushed to the edge of his rope of like, if this doesn't work, he likely won't be able to make this his career anymore. He has 4 kids to support. Like, he's getting pushed back into a corner that he made for himself that he thought was much further away than it actually was. But also, he likes that limelight. He wants people to be praising him on Reddit again.
Highest praise one can receive.
Fantastic. Right. This is now the end of Persona Gen. Persona Gen, of course, never ends in a game of Die. I'll continue to ask people questions as we play to define details. Predominantly, it's all, trust me, this is a hot mess, people. There's no end of material. what I do normally in a game of Die, we do actual Paragon generation. It's basically everyone sits around as a miniature LARP and we all pretend to be the characters we've made, generating our characters in an RPG. And it's really a chance to, it's an ice-breaking exercise. It's kind of just a chance to be, discover your character's voice, and it's a bit of buy-in, and the magic ritual's fun. Unfortunately, it takes about half an hour, so we're not going to do that. So instead, I'm going to just give you the brief narrative version. It's, we gather to get Duncan's place. It's a small flat, in this, you know, relatively cheap bit of town. He welcomes everyone in, and he sort of sits down. We're going to play a game tonight, he sort of explains. We're going to play a game tonight. We are going to play this game from the 1990s. It's called Die, but it's very interesting. There's an urban myth. You might know about it, Felix.
Yeah.
The people played it and disappeared. It's very, you know, the kind of edgy shit I was into as a kid? Points at it. This is it. And he sits down and starts handing out the character classes. He sends a class called the Dictator, Defen, which is called a D4 with a D4 attached. He hands Martin a D12, who's the Godbinder. He hands Felix the Fool, and he hands Garrett the Emotion Knight. And then we sit down to generate our characters. Everyone has the character sheets. Since this is the quick one, there are basically two choices on all the classes. So in other words, it's quite simple to sort of jump through it.
Mm-hmm.
Your stats are preset. Everyone got different choices, so it's hard to sort of say. You pick your god for the Godbinder.
Oh, yeah.
You pick your gift of the fair for the Neo. You pick your sacred emotion for the knight. And the dictator picks their emotion. The other thing you actually pick is, excitedly, your look.
Mm.
Which, of course, you can also fill in your own. When I say you can, I mean you almost certainly will.
But I like using one of these. Spectacular evening wear is very funny.
Oh, a long cloak balanced between elegantly wasted and scruffy.
Mm-hmm.
That feels right. And then I'm going to put my trade as a con artist.
That's fun. Yeah, I've gone with heavy metal Sauron knockoff with huge metal hat and glowing eyes.
Nice.
That's fucking rad.
I was going to say helm rather than hat, because
yeah,
that's the energy.
I'm going with the underworld god. I want to summon skeletons.
Yes.
It's good. Edgy teenage nonsense.
I love that in the book, it describes them as stop motion skeletons.
Those are the best skeletons.
Yeah. That's
such a nice touch.
From that, what's that movie, Jason and the Argonauts? The really great stop motion.
Yeah.
It's like the skeletons are specifically named after the Morningstar game as well. It's called the skeletons.
The skeletons.
Yeah. Not even just skeletons. It's the skeletons.
It's the skeletons.
The
bone boys.
The bone boys.
I just got everyone sits down and makes their characters. Duncan is probably going first to demonstrate, and Duncan is playing the master. The GM in this game, the GM has a character class. He is playing, he gets to cheat and bend the rules, which grounds quite exciting. He seems very excited by that concept. And his character's got this ridiculous sort of knockoff Sauron energy to it with a big metal helm and glowing eyes. So that's the thing.
Rad.
What about, what does Felix design?
Felix has definitely taken cues from the heavy metal Sauron knockoff and has basically made a Aragorn knockoff. has made a very like scruffy, it's described in the book or in honor sheet as a long cloak balanced between elegantly wasted and scruffy. So I think he's going for like classic rugged roguish hero.
What about Martin?
Martin has chosen the underworld god as their deity that they have a contract with. And as such is going all in on the necromancer look, black hood, skull pauldrons, sort of rib cage armor, and then just bones, just covered in bones.
So many bones.
Big bone club. Or yeah, it says it's a two-handed hammer. A big bone hammer.
Brilliant. Proper golf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about Fen? What does Fen design?
Fen, as the dictator, effectively just looks like Trinity from The Matrix.
of course.
Nice.
Rad.
With a severe bob, though.
Ooh.
Nice.
Severe
bob. And it's like the black leather jacket, extremely sharp, angular, like there's weird sort of pointed shoulder pads going on in there. And she has a dagger and a crossbow.
And your emotion is?
And my emotion is loathing.
Fantastic. Garrett.
Yeah, Garrett is a terror knight, specifically.
Oh, Jesus.
Garrett is head to toe, fully clad, like very ornate and highly defensive looking black and white armor that like is patterned throughout. And my arcane weapon, if it's cool, is going to be a pair of brass knuckles, because I think knight with brass knuckles is sick.
Brass knuckles is like the third album of my favorite metal band. You know what I mean?
They're a little more ornate looking than like, you know, mobster mm-hmm. brass knuckles, but yeah. Same idea. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you've seen Alan Moore's gauntlets. You've got a gauntlet he occasionally wears for photo shoots.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I'm picturing
there
it.
There we go.
The technology doesn't evolve too much there.
When the characters sort of get together, the final thing Duncan does is hand, everyone's got the dice, he says, take the dice and hold them out in a closed hand. And he's a bit embarrassed by this, and like, take them out in your whole hand. Now close your eyes and lower them to the table. And open your eyes at the count of One, two, three. And he opens the hands. And you're somewhere else instantly. It's almost like, you know, you imagine someone falling down into a chair because you're sitting around a table. You fall upwards to standing. Imagine if you fall down but find yourself standing afterwards.
Whoa.
You're standing in a circle. You're entirely just dressed as you normally are. You're in exactly the same kind of like evening clothes you would normally wear, but slobbing out and playing an RPG. And your circle. You are in a cavern. It's like molten plastic. I think that's the image. Imagine you're in a half molten miniature, like something you might see in the window of Games Workshop, but some awful kid has attached it with a blowtorch, like something out of like the mean stuff in Toy Story.
Sure.
Sid.
Everything is awful and weighty. And Duncan is the first to act, and has the moment of like, oh my God, it's real. And then he does something surprising you all. He reaches out and grabs something. Because floating in a circle in the middle of you are the five dice. He reaches out, instantly grabs the D20, and there is a burst of energy flying out as he spends a cheat token, and there's a burst of energy, and he immediately jumps up. Imagine his body being injected by kind of like a nightmare serum, and he swells to like 8 foot, looking down on you. His actual head splits open. And his skull grows into this enormous metal thing. And there's an ignition as two fires burst out of his eyes. And he looks at you all and said, it works. Now you will all pay. And he clicks his finger and he disappears. There's a sort of sparkling, awful firelight that shoots out. And you realize there's one entrance, one exit from this place. And it's the shape of enormous jaws, like literally like his actual head. But his head has been pulled back and his teeth elongated to daggers.
Ew, I love it.
And on this awful gate leans webs ahead of you, it says, The Else 2.
Felix just goes, yes, and pulls out a notebook and starts writing.
Oh my God.
And that is all for this preview of Die, Total Party Kill. If you want to hear the rest of this episode with Kieran Gillen and Nathan Yaffe, and trust me, you absolutely do, head on over to patreon.com/manysidedmedia and become a member of the Dice Pool. Splash! There, you will get access to dozens of hours of bonus actual plays, cast talkbacks, roundtable discussions, original music, and ad-free episodes of all of our shows. Your support on Patreon really is the single best way you can help us continue to make this show and many more in 2026 and beyond. Part 2 of this 2-part game of Die will be released later this month.